Stand by, and we're live.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study at Soldiers for Christ. Do we have our intro thing yet, or is that in the works?
Intro.
The parish, it is.
I can't add it to
yeah,
the
you,
I can only add it one.
Well, for all the people that already saw it and commented on you, thank you.
Facebook.
Yeah, thank you. My son is a editor, and that's his goal, to be a professional television editor. So he's editing all kinds of film together, and it looks beautiful, huh?
It was beautiful.
Okay.
It's on our DC Facebook page.
What's the title of our message, Pastor Ben?
Dedicated to
Dan Mattson. We are dedicating this evening to Dan Mattson. And Dan Mattson is a friend that I met in 2006. And we'll get to talk about that. But first, we need Minister Ron from the SALT Ministry, S4C SALT Ministry, to pray us in.
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Elohim Yehovah, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our one and only hope, our Savior, our Redeemer. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the Word made flesh that came and lived the perfect life and was put to death on the cross to pay for our sins.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, we put our hope and our faith and our trust in you, the one and only true God.
Yes.
Father God, we worship you. We love you. We adore you. Lord, tonight we ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint this message, that it would go forth far and wide and reach the hearts of every single person who hears it. Oh, Father God, I pray that you would send a warning to anyone who's in danger of being left behind, that God, this message tonight would grant them repentance.
Yes.
Turn from their sins and to wholeheartedly
hallelujah.
You, Father God.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Lord, give us all that vision that you want us to be doing and fulfilling, each and every one of us to be doing your will before you come. Lord, we love you. Have your way tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, look who just flew in.
Amen.
What's up, brother? Praise God. So now Brother Ryan's here. Brother Brent's here. And we are ready to rock and roll.
Marine's here.
Marine's here? Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought I was wondering. I thought she decided not to come. Yeah, she's parking right now. Beautiful. All of our S4C family all around the world, I want to thank you so much for all you do for the ministry.
Yes.
Pastor Ben knows I'm not into doing telethons and stuff, but you guys really have blessed the church that we can do a lot more than we ever thought we'd ever be able to do.
Amen.
So thank you so much. This letter right here is from Judith, and she lives in Anaheim. Okay, and so I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to ask her if she can get a hold of me, and if she does have my number, to call me so that we can talk. So it's a very private letter between me and her.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And this letter is from somewhere in where? Jersey? Where did this letter come from, Pastor Ben?
Is that Jersey?
I don't know where this came.
Oh,
wait a minute. It's from Syracuse, New York. And they sent us this thank you card, but they didn't put any name on it. So whoever you are in Syracuse, New York, we want to thank you.
Amen.
And we just ask God to bless you and thank you for it so much.
Amen.
And then now we get to this other, well, it's not a letter. It's the gift basket. Karen Bland. A lot of us don't know Karen Bland's background, but Karen Bland, I forget what 70s singing group she used to sing with, but she can sing some gospel music.
Amen.
Anyway, she sent us all these cards, and I have no time to read them all. A watch, ties. She loves shopping. I talked to her on the phone. I was like, Karen, where do you get all this stuff? And she was like, Oh, I just like shopping, Pastor Sandy. And then you got these t-shirts, one's for Sharon, because it says, Jesus saves, bro. That's a Pastor Ben saying, right? Jesus saves, bro. Yeah. Yeah. And then she sent Pastor Ben one. Now, and then there's earrings in there and everything, Pastor Ben. And so she took care of the ladies. And this is a tallit. It's actually a tallit bracelet, but it wasn't big enough, so I put two together. Okay, let's get started here. Okay. All right, I'm going to get all of this stuff off of here. And there's a beautiful ring in here. Karen, you spoil us too much. I'm going to send her a gift basket one. I'm going to put all kinds of stuff. I'm going to put all kinds of stuff in there. Socks, pickles. All right. Okay. So let's talk. This is the book that Dan Matson wrote. It's called Signs of the End. Then after he wrote this book, he wrote another book to follow this one up. And I think altogether, I think he wrote three books, but maybe it was just the two. Anyway, Dan and his wife, Angie, and the children, they live up there in Washington, not in Seattle where me and Drea got married, but I think it's, I can't pronounce this, Kennewick or Kennewick, but it's up there in Washington. Anyway, this is the book that Dan Matson sent me, and I received it that morning, and I thought, well, at lunchtime, I'll go and kind of go through it a little bit and see what it's all about, because we had talked on the phone. And so I'm in Starbucks, and I start reading, right? And my
took the kids up to the park.
I was at Starbucks at work, and I was at Westlake Financial in Wilshire, and I started reading inside Starbucks, and I'm reading this book, right? And it's so interesting. There's so many. It was so filled with so much meat, like biblical things that you need to know concerning time and how God's controlling time and how he brought Israel back in 1948 and 1967 and even some of the other things that have happened in Israel's history is in this book with a lot of other things. Anyway, I'm reading like a crazy man. And my head doesn't even look up because it's so interesting, right? And Forrest Whitaker, the actor, had came in, and he was supposed to be doing an autograph session there. Well, I didn't even know who was there. I just know people were like, oh, he's here and here, and oh, the limo's here. I heard it out the ear, but I never even looked up to see who it was or what they were doing. But people were standing in line to get his autograph. And when my hour was about over and I had to go ahead back to work, I was like, oh my goodness, I got to call this guy and tell him I'm reading his book. And I called him and I said, I'm sitting in Starbucks and I'm about to fall off my chair reading this book. If you want to read it sometime, you can. I was like, I'm about to fall off my chair reading this book. This is the most interesting book I've ever read. So I start telling him about my 6,000 year count, and we talked for a while on the phone. I ordered more books from him. He sent me about 16. I gave them to every Jewish person I know. Some people took it back to Jerusalem. Hey, how you doing? Some people some Jewish people came and they took it back to Jerusalem, and they said there's so much beautiful stuff in here about Israel and the rebirth of Israel that it was blowing their minds. So I want to thank Dan Matson, who passed away
17th
on the 17th of April. I want to thank him for writing this book, because this book was the beginning of a lot of time knowledge in the Bible, like what God did and how he controlled time. And God controlling time shows us that he's in control of this world when he's making things happen exactly when he said they would happen, okay? So, if you have your notes with you, we're going to get started. And we'll get back to Dan's book in a second, okay? We're going to do a study, and I want you guys to be paying attention to your notes as we go. The Lord told me to say one thing before I get started, because some people say, you know what, I'm just so tired of the rapture. I just want to just go back to being a regular Christian. I'm tired of thinking about the rapture. And the Lord told me, says, if you don't want to think about the rapture anymore, it's okay. The rapture will still be thinking about you. The purpose of you having the rapture and the second coming on your mind is to keep you focused on your Christian walk.
Yes.
No, having the blessed hope keeps you focused on your walk with Christ. But if you don't want to think about the rapture, only thing it does is kind of relaxes you so you can do, you know. But don't get all caught up in, I got to know the time, dates, and all that. There'll be plenty of people, a guy had a dream, there'll be plenty of people that will be in heaven. And in his dream, he said, half the people that got raptured didn't know what happened. So there'll be plenty of people in heaven that weren't following rapture channels and driving themselves crazy on YouTube, who will be in heaven, and you'll explain it to them. You'll go, well, there was this thing called the rapture, and we were in the last days, and they'll go, no! So let's not get all caught up into that. But I love watching for the rapture. I love the dates. I love what God is doing, how he controls time. And it is a pleasure for me to study. And God called me to do this. And I know God called me to do this to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting still for the day, because God says, I'm guiding you. Just do what I say. When I even get a little bit off, God goes, stop. I'm guiding you. Just do what I say. And everything will be fine. Preach what I tell you to preach. Do what I say, I'm guiding you. And so in that, I go to God, and he tells me, this is what I want you to tell them. This is what they need to know, okay? Because I'm trying to get the whole world excited about the wedding of Jesus Christ and the church. And it's been a long time since I've been doing this, since we started in 2004, the church. And God had given me the 6,000 year count, which Dan Mattson helped me with, even with the 6,000 year count, because he gave it to me, but I didn't really understand it all, you know. But he helped me with it. He showed me this prophecy came through here, this prophecy came through here, and he's showing me how the 6,000 year count was correct. So let's get started. So that's the message from the Lord. If you don't want to think about the rapture, it's okay. The rapture's still thinking about you, because when it's time to go, it's going to be time to go if you're living for Christ. If you have your Bible with you today, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, and I want you to be in chapter 4.
What's the name of Dan Mattson's book again?
Dan Mattson's book is called Signs of the End.
Hold on, I'm gonna
snapshot. And, you know, I know his wife has a lot to do right now, but don't, if you want to, I don't know how you order it now, but I don't want to be calling her saying, I need so many books. But I'm sure she has other things on her mind right now with the kids and everything. So God bless her. Praise God. Are you in Ezekiel chapter 4? This is a Bible study, so we're going to learn if you don't already know this. You ready? It says from verse 1, now, son of man, take a clay tablet, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Lay a siege to it, erect a siege, work against it, build a ramp up to it, and set a camp against it, and put a battering ram around it, then take an iron pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and between you and the city, and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege, and you will besiege it. This will be a sign between me and the house of Israel. So he has him cut out this sample of Israel and place a battering ram against it, because he's going to prophesy to them what God is about to do to the nation of Israel, because he's about to judge Israel. And when the Romans come in, they always going to place a siege against the city so that nobody can go out and nobody can come in, so that the people in there will have to give up or starve to death because they can't get out for food. And he's telling them, do this sample city, place a siege against it, because I'm about to do this to the nation of Israel. Let's continue. It says, it will be under siege. You shall besiege it. This will be a sign between the house of Israel, between the house of Israel. It says, then lie on your left side and put the sin of the house of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sins for the number of days you lie on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days, you will bear the sins of the house of Israel. After you have finished this, lie again, this time on your right side, and bear the sins of the house of Judah. I will have, I have assigned you 40 days, a day for each year. Turn your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and with bare arms prophesy against her. I will tie you up with ropes so that you cannot turn from the right to the other side until you have finished the days of the siege. So he tells Ezekiel to do this because they're going to be punished for what is your, are you guys looking at your notes?
Amen. What page?
Right there in the front. Right there in the front page. The penalty is 390 days. He's lying on his side. But what did he say? It's a day for a year. You understand? Mm-hmm. Every day is equaling a year. Now he says, then for Jerusalem, lie on your other side, and for 40 days. And that will be for Jerusalem. So 390 plus 40 is what? 430? So the total punishment for the house of Israel and Jerusalem is going to be 430 years. It's going to get started in Babylon. Okay? So now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, let's go there. Jeremiah, chapter 25. And we're going to be in verse 8 through 11. Are you with me? Okay, here we go. It says, therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from the sound of the joy of gladness and the voice of the bride and the bridegroom, the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp. The whole country, talking about Israel, will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon. So the first thing they're going to do, God's going to do when he comes against Israel, is he's going to have Babylon come in, make a siege work against them, then take the people out of Israel and take them to Babylon. And so now they're all in Babylon, and they're going to be in Babylon for how long? 70 years. Okay? Now, let me tell you, this is a side story. There was another king that was living in Jerusalem. When the king of Babylon came, he said to the guy who was king over Jerusalem, if you obey me and do what I say, I'll have you rule over these people in Jerusalem. And it says, but I'm taking all of the people out of Israel. So he takes all the people out of Israel. He leaves this Jewish king there to rule over. But he says, if you stop obeying me, I'll come back and destroy you too. Mm-hmm. So he stays there. So all of the Jews go to Babylon, and they stay there for 70 years. Okay. But after about the 19th year, the king that's in Jerusalem starts saying, we don't have to obey him. We can do what we want. So the king goes back to Jerusalem, and he destroys Jerusalem exactly 19 years later. Then he brings all of the people out of Jerusalem to Babylon, and everybody is now in Babylon, and they're going to be there for 70 years, okay? Now, we had 430 years that they were supposed to serve as punishment, right? They served 70 of that in Babylon. They have now 360 years left to serve as a punishment for what they did. Now, this was a promise that God said, if you learn your lesson in the 70 years you're in Babylon, I will forgive you of the rest of the sin and bring you back to your home. But he doesn't, they don't obey him. Even in Babylon for 70 years, they still continued sinning. So God says, okay, since you did that, let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. This is the history of the whole world that we're reading here, y'all, because there's a reason Israel's back in the land. Okay, now here we are. Are you in Leviticus chapter 26? Verse 17 and 18. It says, I will set my face against you, talking to Israel, so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. Verse 18. If after all this, you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. You hear that? So God is saying, if you go into punishment and you don't listen to me and you continue sinning, whatever time that's left on your punishment, I'm going to times it by seven. Okay? Then we go to verse 21, and he says it again. If you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your afflictions seven times over. Then it goes down to verse 24, and it says, I myself will be hostile toward you, and you will be afflicted for your sins seven times over. Then you go to verse 28, and it says, then in my anger, I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. So God is promising them, because of your sin, you're going into Babylon. And you're going to be there 70 years. If you get it together, we can forget about it. If you don't, the rest of the time that you have on your punishment, 360 years, is going to be times seven. So you will not have Jerusalem or Israel for at least 2,520 years. This punishment gets laid down on Israel. They know now they're getting kicked out of the land. They won't see Jerusalem and Israel as belonging to the Jews for at least 2,520 years, okay? So this is where this book comes in, right? Watch this. There's a chart back here that does what I have written up there, but I would rather you look at the, just put the chart up to the board. It gives you the exact year, 606 BC, that they go into Babylon, the 70 years that they're there, and they come out, 537. Then Jerusalem next, remember, 19 years later, 587 BC, and the 70 years to 518 BC. So he's showing you exactly when they went into captivity, how long and how long they stayed there, 70 years, and then we know the 19 years apart because of the king that wouldn't obey. When you count from 606 BC, okay, let's go from the 70 years. When you count from the 70 years at 537 BC to May 14th, 1948, it's exactly, no, I don't want to go over there, I want to stay right here. It's exactly 2,520 years. And you can calculate it when you get home. But now once you do it, make sure you do it with each year being 360-day years. Then it'll come out to 2,520. If you do 365 days, it'll come to like, you know, 17 days short or something like that, okay? So if you do 360 days, so God is saying from the time that your 70 years is over since you didn't obey, for 2,520 years, you will not own Israel. It will not be your land until May 14th, 1948. And Dan put it in a chart. Because that's what he I don't know how what happened to his brain when he was a kid, but this, he puts everything mathematically. He goes back and he finds out, did God's prophecy come true? And if it came true, he wants to know, was it the exact amount of days that it said? And he does this continuously with different charts that he puts together. So I'm like, wow, you got some brain. Then he starts saying, oh, and let me explain to you pi. And I said, stop, Dan. I played football. If you say pi to me, that just makes me hungry. So he left me alone with all the pi numbers, but he had calculations for everything. Okay? So Israel comes back into the land May 14th, 1948. But remember, Jerusalem didn't get punished till 19 years later. So Israel comes back into the land in 1948, but they can't have Jerusalem yet. Know why? Because Jerusalem didn't leave till 19 years later. Right. So that means they can't get back the capital city, Jerusalem, until 19 years after 1948. So what happened in 1967?
Six-day war.
And what does Israel win?
Jerusalem
back. Now, so that you understand this, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25, and then you'll see where God put it in scripture so that people can go, wow, he knew exactly the 19 years. Okay, you're in 2 Kings chapter 25. Now the Lord's leading me, because he's giving me scriptures I didn't write down. Okay, now, you're in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. Listen to this. On the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the commander of the imperial guard and the official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the house to Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army under the commander of the Imperial Guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. So he's telling you it happened, it's going to happen 19 years later. So when you saw Israel rebirth back into the earth, God had already mentioned this 2,520 years ago. And when the 19 years passed, he already said it would be 19 years. So the whole world is waiting around to see if they're going to get Jerusalem back in 19 years to fulfill what? Prophecy. God is controlling time. And now God says, now is a good time to tell me the story. The Lord says, look, there are a lot of people that get into the rapture thing, okay? They're like, oh my goodness, the rapture's gonna happen. They don't even know when God said it, it already happened.
Right.
They don't understand when God speaks, when God said it's gonna be 70 years, they came out of Babylon in exactly 70 years. So when God speaks, it already happened. Jesus already promised you he built you a mansion in heaven. He already promised you I'm coming back to take you. He already promised you that there's going to be a wedding between the bride and the son in heaven. He already promised you that if you haven't passed away, he says, and you're still walking around, I'm going to snatch you up and take you from where you're at. He's already promised this. That means in God's mind, it already happened.
Yeah.
So this is a done deal. The rapture is a done deal. But for people who follow the rapture, you can teach them everything about the Bible. And then all you have to do is not be right about what day the rapture is. Oh my God, you're a false prophet. I can't follow you anymore.
Yep.
Well, first of all, nobody's prophesying to you. What we're doing is teaching you the timelines of the Bible, yeah, and we're watching for the date of the rapture.
Yeah.
No one's coming up here going, and last night while I was eating cookies, the Lord came to me and sat right next to me. Now, a guy did that a couple of weeks ago with the three dark days of night, whatever, and God came in and, you know, he sat down and said, hey, I got something to talk. God don't do that. God ain't talked to nobody face to face since Moses, okay? So if the Lord speaks to you, he speaks to you the same way he speaks to me, in a still, small voice.
Yeah.
And know what? You know it's him.
Yeah.
And you act, right?
Yeah.
So there is no prophetic, God talked to me while eating donuts, and he told me Tuesday of next week at 3 a.m, the rapture's going to happen, okay? That doesn't exist. What you're looking for is people who are called to be watchmen.
Yeah.
So they can say in 1948, Israel was rebirthed. Mm-hmm. So since they were rebirthed in 1948, we know that's the last generation. We know it's 70 or 80. Now we're coming up to year 73 of their birthday. They only have 7 years left on their calendar because it's their birthday coming up May 14th, if you use the Gregorian calendar. And so now you know there's only 7 years left on the last generation prophecy. Now, I'm just telling you the scenario, what the scriptures just told me. I'm not telling you Jesus came to me last night and told me this is going to be the exact date. We're looking for the date. It's the blessed hope. We're watching. We want to watch. The greatest hope that I have is each day there's a chance the rapture might happen. That gets my blood boiling because I'm like, man, any day now I could just get out of here. So understand that it is God's great joy for this day. It's a wedding.
Yes.
It's his great joy to one day do this, bring everybody to heaven, throw a party, have a feast, celebrate with Jesus, and we can all sit there and hug him and say thanks a lot and all. This is God's great joy. So don't try to ruin it for other people. Like, why are you talking about the rapture? Because it's the great joy. It's the blessed hope. Why are you not talking about it?
Right. Amen.
Okay. Let's go to the next page. Because the Lord wants me to know you to know this. Look. Don't let the only thing that God can do for you be the rapture. I mean, he does so many other things. You know what I mean? He does so many other things in your life. And then I still get people going, well, you know, now I'm just confused and I don't know what to do because the rapture didn't happen. I don't know if I really want to still walk with the Lord. I'm like, you want to be nice so you don't hang up, but you don't want to, you're like, what do you mean give up? Aren't you still saved? Didn't he still deliver you from drugs? You know what I mean? So the rapture is just a cherry on top of a cake. It's not the whole cake. So enjoy your life with Christ. Enjoy each day that you're growing in him. Enjoy the fact that your future's already planned.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Now, here we are. Now, I'm going to read this, okay? Now, Mark Twain, you know, he was a writer, I guess. His description, Mark Twain's description of the land is also dramatic. Description of the fulfillment of the great prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. The following is Mark Twain's description of the holy city in 1867. 1867 is 50 years before the next Jubilee, which will be 1917. In 1917, the curse of how long they would be out of the land for Jubilees is about to be announced, okay? So now you have in 1867, he announced, he says from his book that he wrote, The Innocent Abroad, this refutes the Palestinian myth that the land was developed under Arab rule. In fact, it was a wasteland until the Jews began to return in significant numbers in the early 20th century. You hear that?
Yep.
So until 1917, which was a Jubilee year, and it ended a prophecy. Rabbi Samuel Judah said they will be out of the land for this amount of Jubilees. But in 1917, he says they'll be back in the land in 1917. Rabbi Samuel said in 1217, that they'll be back in the, they'll get Jerusalem announced to them in 1917. So what happens in 1917?
Belfar Court.
What happened? General Allenby fights this war. And he fights this war, and he doesn't even really fight, he just drops some leaflets. And the Turks see the leaflets, and it looks like the Son of God is coming. And they're dropping them from the sky. So they ran and left Jerusalem, and they didn't occupy Jerusalem anymore.
Amen.
General Allenby on Hanukkah walks through the city and declares that the city belongs to the Jews. And then he gets a written letter, and he says, we're going to give Jerusalem back to the Jewish people. They declared it in 1917. Now, the letter that he got was from Jews who aren't Jews, the Rockefellers and all them. So they changed their mind. Now, we think the British will just rule over the Jews and we won't give them the land back. But they had already declared it in 1917. You know why? Because in a Jubilee year, all land must be declared back to the original owner. So then now 50 years later goes again, and what has to be dealt with? Jerusalem, Six-Day War. 1917, 1967, 50 years, they're back in the land. Now they're back in the land, and they win the Six-Day War, and they win back Jerusalem. So we got one Jubilee, we got the next 50 years Jubilee, and now two Jubilees, the land has been declared to belong to the Jews. Now, 1917 comes, and either Jesus has to come and declare Israel Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, or Donald Trump has to do it. So since God says, well, it's not time for me to come back yet and do all this, let's have Donald do it. He can call him Donald. So Donald Trump comes December 6th and declare, and now everybody told him, don't do it. Sure, oh, please don't do this. It's going to cause a war.
Yep, they sure did.
He says, nope, no problem. I'm doing it. He declares, December 6th, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, keeping in line with what? Every Jubilee, Israel has to be declared, Jerusalem has to be declared belonging to its original owners, the Jews.
Yes.
So that's three times in history, 50 years apart, and that means God is controlling time, and here it is, 50 years apart, he's still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen. What year did Donald Trump declare it?
2017. 1967. 2017, 50 years later. Just happened to pick 50 years later because it's a Jubilee.
It just happened.
See, and these are the type of things that this book, this is a tip if you ever read Dan Matson's book. He shows you all kinds of things that God did in history that showed you that God, all of the ninth of Av happenings and all of these things are in this book. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Now, let's go to this page here. Here, show that page, Pastor Ben.
I have it right there.
Hallelujah.
This one, right?
Yes. Now, people ask me, Pastor Sandy, where do you get all this knowledge from? I never heard of none of some of this stuff before. I said, God told me if you learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible.
Yep.
So, I know this. Listen, you guys. Et is the Aleph and the Tav. It's two letters. It's the beginning of the Hebrew language and it's the end of the Hebrew language. Jesus says, I am the Aleph and the Tav. I'm the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God created Et, Aleph and the Tav. What did he create? 22 letters. You can't speak until you get a language. So God creates 22 letters. And then God says, and with these 22 letters, God created the heavens and the earth because somebody had to speak, let there be, right? So the letters are created by God. But if God creates letters, the letters are not just going to be like, you know, English letters. Each one of them has a meaning. So I showed you guys last week, each letter in the Hebrew language is telling you about Yeshua. From Aleph, Aluf, the champion, the ox who carries all of your burdens. He is the Tibet, what we call the B, which is the house that he's got, that the champion is going to build. The Gemel, the kindness that he's going to show you to delete the door that's going to come and be opened for you by Yeshua. All of this stuff is in the letters. You understand? So when it came to 2020, God wanted me to know the last judgment, worldwide judgment that happened was in the 120th year. And when was that? In the flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So last year was the 120th year from the 1900s. God says, why does it have to happen in the 1900s? Well, first of all, Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible. I said, okay, yeah. 19th book of the Bible, 48th book, chapter of Psalms is the rebirth of Israel. Yeah, okay. He says, no, it's deeper than that. He said, 19 is the number of Eve's name, Eva, or Hava, is 19 is her numerical value of her name. So Eve is connected to 19. And what is she to Adam? She's his helpmate, Samech. Says, yes, what's the numerical value for Samech? 120. Okay, why did the world get judged? Because Adam sinned or because Eve sinned? The scripture says Adam was not deceived. Adam freely participated in the act because he didn't want his wife to suffer and die alone. He's an example of the future Adam that's going to come, Jesus Christ, who even though you were in your sins, he willingly took on your sins so that he could experience death with you. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
It was the love of Adam had for Eve that he didn't want her to go through it alone. It was the love of Jesus Christ for his bride. He doesn't want them to suffer death alone. So he took upon our sins like Adam took upon her sins. You understand? So there you have Adam takes on her sin, and she's the Semet, which is the numerical value of 120. So now the first judgment, because when Eve sins, the judgment goes around the whole world. And please don't tell me, well, wait a minute, Adam and Eve didn't have any, they only had, no, what do you mean the whole world? They only had, you know, two kids. I'm not going through that with you. I'm not even going through to hear her speaking and being a lady, because I know there's some things that people, and when I say ignorant, I mean they don't know and they won't study.
Right.
So they think, oh, wow, what is a woman doing speaking? If you read and study, you would know God never told a woman that they can't speak the word of God.
That's right.
The word is laleo. It means to speak out of order. So if the women are sitting in a separate area in a church from the men, and their area is blocked off with a curtain, and believe me, I went through an Orthodox church, a synagogue, and I was going like on the Saturdays, the women were behind a curtain in the back, still.
Wow.
And they didn't come out until that service was over. So they said, if the woman has something to ask her husband, wait till she gets home. Why does the scripture say that? Because she can't leave her area and come ask her husband a question in the middle of service. It's disruptive. So he says, a woman should not laleo in church, speak out of order, but she should wait till she gets home and ask her husband.
Right.
That's all that was saying. Now, the other one that says about teaching is a Greek word that means mentoring. So a woman should not mentor a man.
Right.
I'm not going to have my wife teach a man how to be a man.
Hello.
Because the Bible advises me not to do it. You understand? So you got to get rid of this backwards, super Baptist, apostolic weirdness that we grew up with. Telling women that, you know, you can say something, but you can't be behind a pulpit because that's only for the men.
Right.
God is not participating in your ignorance. Okay? Read and study. I'll do the study and I'll give it to Pastor Ben. He can send it out to you. So you can see the Greek words.
Amen.
That was a commercial. Let's get back.
Amen. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Okay, so now here Eve is. Numerical value 19. Okay. Her job, Semek, support to her husband, a helpmate, is 120. So the first worldwide judgment is what? Eve, which is numerical value of what? 120, right? So the second worldwide judgment comes when? God tells Noah, I will not deal with these people always. Their time will be 120 years. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Their time will be 120 years. Did God just come up with that number? No, he pulled that from Eve, from the root of the sin. He pulled it from there. And he says, now, every time there's 120, there's going to be a judgment. So there's a judgment when? When the flood came, 120 years.
Yes.
Then Moses sinned and didn't do what God told him to do. And what year do you think Moses died? He was 120. Okay? God could have judged him when he sinned, but God said, no, judgments come in 120. Why? The root of it is Eve. Okay? Now, Israel has three kings. They have Saul, he rules for 40 years. They have David, he rules for 40 years. They have Solomon, he rules for 40 years. And Solomon is sinning, and God punishes the nation of Israel. 40, 40, and 40 equals what? 120. So all the judgments come in 120. You have to hear what I'm going to say. So now the 19th year, the 1900s come. This is Eve's century. This is going to be her, the 1900s come. So God starts counting, and he puts it in a book of Psalms. And he's counting the prophecy of every year. Psalms 1 is 1901. Psalms 2 is 1902. Psalms 3 is 1903. Psalms 4, and he's going, Psalms 48 is 1948. And what does it talk about? The rebirth of the nation of Israel. Psalms 67 is the Six-Day War. And it's talked about in Psalm 67. So he's counting. Someone's counting because they're telling you what's going to happen in each year. Now we get to 2020, and what do we know? It's the 120th year, because now it's Psalms 120. So there must be a worldwide, not just a judgment, it has to be a worldwide judgment.
Yep.
God has to show out. It has to affect everybody.
Yeah.
So did the pandemic affect everybody or just the United States? So that the whole world was under judgment, right?
Right.
Okay, now watch this. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Now I'm going to say, this is what the Lord told me today. The Lord said, Luke 21, because it's in chapter 21, just like John is the 21st book, in Luke 21, Luke 21 is an extension of 2020. Listen. It says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Be careful, or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. And the anxieties of life. He's talking to Christians, you guys. We're in 21, verse 32. And then we, in verse 34, be careful, it says, or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. What day? The rapture. It says, be careful. Don't be hanging around with drunkards and stuff. And it says, and don't let the anxieties of life get you caught up and you start going, I don't want to think about the rapture. I just want to be a regular Christian. And then the anxieties of life and all this stuff get you off the main focus, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Because your job is, as a Christian, is to stay in relationship.
Yes.
The rapture keeps me in relationship.
Yeah, boy.
Imagine every day waking up knowing this could be your wedding day. It keeps you kind of like on your toes, right?
Yeah.
So it says here, weighed down with dispensational drunkenness and anxiety of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole world. What, the rapture? Yes. But we just experienced the judgment that, see, because we didn't think, reading this scripture, what does he mean is going to happen to everybody in the whole world unexpectedly? Just like the pandemic did, or the plandemic.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly on the whole world. Yeah. God said, I did this so that you can see the times and the dates you're in. And you can see that I'm timing it. 120, Eve, right? 120, the flood, right? 120, the three kings of Israel, right? Here's 120 years, 19 is there, and the 120 years passed, and guess what? Judgment came. I'm giving you an opportunity to repent, and they still don't repent. And he says, today, the scripture that you're reading is an extension of 2020. It's going to roll right into it. Listen, Moses died. Joshua took over and they crossed over. It just rolled right into it. You understand? The rapture is going to roll right into it. Because they're not giving. You think everybody's like, you know what? The new, because, you know, they got the Bitcoins ready for you and the new turning over the economy to digital currency. All that is right in front of you. And see, I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm thinking, oh, they're slowing down on the poking you with the thing, and I'm thinking they're slowing down. Like, okay, they're not doing it anymore, right? I walk in Walmart the other day, and they got a whole setup in there for people to come in and get poked. And I went, this devil is still busy. I'm like, I don't think they're backing off. God's people better stay ready. And then they're talking about the Great Awakening and the new currency and all of this stuff.
Great Awakening.
And the aliens are coming to take the bad people out and la, 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 la. And God says, Luke chapter 21, what you're reading is going to roll right into what happened in 2020 is rolling right into rapture. And they'll be taking away. And now we have to understand. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, and then I'm finished. I want to say this. A guy named Barry Scarborough made a video that said Dan Mattson passed away. He was a soldier of once saved, always saved. I'm like, I've talked to Dan many times on the phone. He has never, ever said that he was believed in once saved, always saved. And he lived a Christian life with a wife and beautiful kids, and he lived a Christian life. So Dan was not once saved, always saved. So someone needs to tell Barry to take that dumb video down, because while the man can't speak for himself, you're going to put up a video saying he was a soldier for once saved, always saved. I mean, that was just a snake thing to do. I thought, at least have it where the man can come back and say, no, I don't believe in that junk.
Right.
It's crazy.
Amen.
Here we go. You in Titus? You chapter 2? Are you in verse 11? It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Is that our job as a Christian? Are we fighting against this, or are we just enjoying it and saying once we're saved, we're always saved? Mm-hmm. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We're supposed to be looking for the blessed hope, waiting and looking for the blessed hope. Watch and pray. He wants us looking, okay? He wants us ready. He wants us to be aware of what's going on around us. He doesn't want Christians to just be numb-minded and doing whatever the world tells you and not looking for Jesus. And there was a guy was preaching today, and he said, I was going to a church, and it was just a wonderful church. Everybody was so friendly and beautiful. And he said, you'd go there and people be at the door and they say, good morning, praise the Lord. And he said, it was just a wonderful church. And he said, but then I started reading the Bible. And he started saying, wow, what he just preached on is completely against scripture. And he said, I started reading the Bible more. And he said, the more I read about the word of God, the more I realized I was in the wrong place. God wants you to study to show thyself approved. So you're not some pastor, Edgar, Booger, whatever, opening the church going, and women can't talk here. You haven't even studied. You don't even know why. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to learn. Study to show thyself approved is not a great suggestion by God.
Right.
It's a commandment.
Yes.
Everybody should have read the Gospels by now. If you've been in Christ for more than a year, you should have already read Matthew, Luke, and John.
Amen.
You should already have read some of the New Testament. You should already know some scripture. You understand? Because when you came in, one of the commandments was to study to show thyself approved.
Yes.
And my son's like, oh, they just don't know that women can speak, Dad. They wouldn't know to look up the Greek. I said, why wouldn't they? They know that the New Testament's in Greek. They know that the Old Testament's in Hebrew. So why wouldn't they study? You know, any other religion you go in, try to be a Jehovah's Witness and don't study.
Well, that's true.
They'll kick you out.
Yep.
Try to be a Muslim, okay? And they got the book right there. Now I know one thing for sure. I was in that and they don't study.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they can listen to some of that stuff, but they don't study. But there's a lot of religions like Mormonism and stuff. You got to study.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah. Satanism
demands
that you study. You know that?
Yeah.
They don't even want you to praising or singing. They just demand that you study their book because they know by reading it does what? It transforms your mind and your thinking. And that's what God wants you to do, to study so that you can conform your whole mind and thinking to the way of God.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
God has proven himself in time. He's proven himself that he's with us in this time, or else Donald Trump doesn't make that announcement.
Right.
Or else the 120 year, you don't get a worldwide judgment. So God has already proven, I'm still in the game. Hang in there, people. I'm coming. And so this is not the time to be giving up on the rapture. This is the time to be looking up and having that blessed hope. Praise God.
Amen.
We'll talk in the morning.
Amen. Pastor, are you speaking Sunday?
Yes, I am speaking Sunday.
Okay. Well,
I know. I will be speaking on Sunday.
Amen.
She's like, you tricked us the last two times. You took the picture.
Well, so you took the picture. You can see.
You can see. I am speaking.